you desperately need stronger ethics rules, which are broader than crimes. This gets to what appears to be unethical, what appears to be corrupt. All of these things are what can diminish the public's trust in government.
While U.S. President Donald Trump and his administration's foreign policy creates debate over international law and conduct, his unorthodox behavior both domestically and internationally has also received criticism in terms of disregard for ethics and for presidential norms. From profiting from crypto investments while being responsible for the rules governing the sector, to seeking to use his power to punish political enemies, the scale and conspicuousness of Trump's activities has repeatedly fallen outside the boundaries of what would normally be considered acceptable conduct in Washington. Further, some place a spotlight on the presidential exemptions of which Trump has sought to take advantage. President Trump, his administration, and family members have denied any conflicts of interest or wrongdoing in terms of ethics, including regarding the cryptocurrency sector, gifts from foreign states, and perceived promotion of specific companies. Richard Painter, associate counsel to the president and chief White House ethics lawyer from 2005 to 2007, discusses potential conflicts of interest stemming from President Trump's involvement in the cryptocurrency sector following the U.S. passing the Genius Act, the country's first federal legislation on digital assets, in 2025.
President Trump not only has a Trump meme coin, but also a substantial investment in Liberty Financial. The New York Times has estimated that his wealth in cryptocurrency could be as high as $6, $7 billion. This is a president who just 3 years ago said that Bitcoin was a scam and really said derogatory things about cryptocurrency. And now cryptocurrency is all the rage. My concern is that the president of the United States has such an enormous financial interest in cryptocurrency while he will be heading up the executive branch and the agencies that are regulating crypto, and to have such enormous conflicts of interest for the president, who is hiring and firing people who have the regulatory agencies, could be a very, very bad situation. The point I made to the Senate Banking Committee is it's absolutely critical that the regulators themselves not have a financial interest in the industry they are regulating. That's true for the entire executive branch, for the chairman of the SEC, for the Treasury secretary, for everybody. It would be a criminal offense to regulate or deregulate cryptocurrency while holding a substantial position in a company like Liberty Financial. That would be a felony under 18 United States Code 208. But there's a big exception. That statute does not apply to the president or the vice president or the members of Congress. This is a very, very serious matter and could have a severe impact on our financial markets. The right thing to do would be for the president to say that he's just not going to have anything to do with crypto regulation, his administration, if his family members are investing a lot in cryptocurrency. That's the right thing to do. Now, does he have to do that? No. These are his grown children. He can't control what they do. They can't control what he does necessarily, although they can tell him what they'd like him to do. And that's the problem. The right thing to do would be for him to recuse and have nothing to do with crypto regulation, or to get his family out of, persuade his sons to get out of crypto and do something else.
Kedrick Payne leads the ethics program at the Campaign Legal Center in Washington, D.C., and is a former deputy chief counsel at the Office of Congressional Ethics. Payne assesses the White House's approach to ethics.
The obvious issue is that the president in the past has always tried to avoid even the appearance of a conflict of interest. That is, to avoid even the appearance that any personal financial benefit could come from their official act. That not only is the president not trying to avoid that, but it seems as though he's actually trying to demonstrate that. So that's the second point that I'll make, which is what people are not talking about enough. The law does not prohibit the president from having such conflicts of interest. However, there's a norm. People talk about norms, but basically what the rule is, it's a tradition. The tradition is that a president will try to avoid this appearance, but the president has changed changed this norm, it seems, to be a new tradition where you want to set up a pay-to-play regime where people believe that they're, to have anything done by the administration, the table stakes include trying to bring something to the table for the president. We saw this with the allegations that the free jumbo jet that the government of Qatar provided to the president will be something that he can have personally. It seems as though that was part of the plan to get favorable treatment by the U.S. in trade deals and other relationships between the two countries. So we are in a situation where it may be a road that has been selected by the president where no longer are the top executive officials trying to avoid ethical concerns, but they may go right to them face to face and have no consequence.
In March 2025, President Trump hosted then advisor Elon Musk, CEO of Tesla, and several of his company's vehicles on the south lawn of the White House and commented that he planned to buy one.
When you look at that from the perspective of the public, there should immediately be a sense that they can't do that, can they? You can't use the White House to sell a particular product of one person and benefit them when this is a taxpayer's White House and it's not for us to promote any particular product. There is a rule, a law, a federal law that applies to all the executive branch officials except the president when it comes to that type of promotion. So the president was able to cleverly promote Tesla without violating any rules, but there was a question as to whether Musk being there violated the rule that applies to him. And here is something that I think most people may not understand is that when it comes to enforcing the rules that would bar that type of behavior, the head of the organization, that ethics body that is in charge of that, was fired within the first week of the Trump administration. So to the extent there is any enforcement, any mechanism to make sure that that behavior does not happen, it cannot operate because step number one in this new administration was to weaken many of the guardrails when it comes to preventing conflicts of interest. And that included the Office of Government Ethics, the Office of Special Counsel, and removing the inspectors general at all of the major agencies. Right now, it appears as though all those IGs are not operating at the capacity that they would. And what I mean is there were inspectors general who were removed, but then there were acting IGs in their place. And the assumption or the hope would be that maybe they would keep enforcing the law and having those different offices work at the same level as before. But we have no indication that that is happening. We have to almost assume that there is a chilling effect among those who are supposed to enforce the ethics rules because they know that if they ask the wrong questions of the wrong people, they may lose their job and their livelihood.
Jonathan Katz is a fellow in governance studies at the nonprofit Brookings Institution and has held senior positions in the U.S. government at the State Department, USAID, and in Congress. Drawing on his work as co-editor of the 2025 Democracy Playbook, he discusses the dismantling of guardrails against corruption and the rule of law in the U.S.
We're looking at what are the guardrails that have been pulled down that would be critical to enforcing public corruption. We wrote about the dismantling of key units and offices in the Department of Justice, at the FBI, the limiting of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act and how that is enforced, eliminating certain teams focused on foreign influence cases, how they might even enforce FARA. So it opens up the United States and the American public to increased levels of corruption, not only from the administration, I would dare say, from foreign actors who don't have the interest of Americans at heart. And this means that you may see a situation where actors are able to influence the administration the Trump administration in a way that might be detrimental to the interests of the American people. And that is replaced by the interests of President Trump and those around him. And I think this is why there's a real concern of dismantling of enforcement, dismantling of oversight and watchdog functions within the government, and this greater lack of transparency and public access. And that includes even within, you know, the ability to access data and transparent and accountable data within government. Overall, the threat to American democracy and rule of law is at stake. I think particularly egregious is in a system that right now where Congress is failing to be that third branch providing critical oversight, that you see these attacks on the judiciary by the administration in social media. These are real threats. The threat of political violence is there. The threat to prevent oversight is there. And it extends not only to judges, of course, but to other elected officials, but it's also the retaliation against law firms and lawyers. And I think you're seeing the undermining of the legal system in order to gain advantage. And that's problematic. And this is only speaking directly to the question of corruption and rule of law, and this lack of accountability that we're seeing.
Kedrick Payne and Richard Painter assess what needs to change in the U.S. when it comes to ethics.
The current situation shows that we are in need for generational reform of our ethics laws. The last time we had real reform in the ethics laws was back in the 70s following Watergate. So now we're getting close to 45, 50 years since that. And the gaps in the law that the current administration has exposed must be filled. So when you have situations where the Supreme Court has said that there's immunity for criminal acts, you desperately need stronger ethics rules, which are broader than crimes. This gets to what appears to be unethical, what appears to be corrupt. All of these things are what can diminish the public's trust in government and are highly consequential. So the type of reforms that the government can pursue when that big wave of reforms happens includes strengthening the IG so that they can't be immediately fired. Having a office that is within the executive branch that is over all ethics issues and can investigate what happens and then provide public reports so there's accountability for those who violate the law, and then to have additional restrictions on the president so that we're not relying heavily on norms or traditions, but we are relying on true rules that can hold the executive accountable.
I'm hoping that we'll have another moment in American history, like the Jimmy Carter presidency, like the Obama presidency, where ethics is made a priority. It's critically important that the voters prioritize integrity and ethics in government. It's just as important, if not more important, than how you feel about a particular issue.